Now, last night was the first Republican presidential debate leading up to the 2024 election. There were eight candidates on the Milwaukee stage. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, former Vice President Mike Pence, entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, and Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. One candidate conspicuously missing, frontrunner Donald Trump. The candidates talked about abortion, climate change, immigration, Ukraine, and more. We're talking about the first Republican debate. Took place at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee last night. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you watched the primary debate last night, what'd you think? What's your reaction? What issues or answers stuck out to you? Was there a candidate you didn't know much about that now you want to learn more about? If you're likely to vote Republican in the 2024 election, do any of the candidates who aren't Donald Trump appeal to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science and associate dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into the content of the debate last night and the candidates, I always kind of wonder, you know, we have these debates in my mind, in theory, so that voters can learn about the candidates, their policies, their temperaments, their abilities. Did the debate accomplish that civic function in your mind?
I think so. I mean, I think that whenever you have a situation where you've got several people on the stage who are all vying for the same prize, so to speak, that you get to do a bit of a compare and contrast. And I think that that last night served that purpose.
We've got a front runner in pretty much all the polls, former President Trump, not there at the debate. What did you make of that? Did you see this as a good opportunity for some of the rest of the field to stand out there?
Absolutely. I think that Trump, former President Trump, deciding to not attend meant that his presence was not there, and therefore other people would have the opportunity to try to get more of the spotlight and the attention. And I think that the people who were participating, he came up quite a bit. I heard that he was like the third biggest topic, if you want to talk about topics as far as mentions and things like that. But as I was watching it over the course of 2 hours, I didn't necessarily, he didn't seem to be looming large, I should say.
There was a direct question about Trump, whether the candidates would support him if he were convicted on some of the charges and still was a Republican candidate. Six out of the eight raised their hands. To Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson said they wouldn't. Here's some of what Chris Christie had to say.
Donald Trump said it's okay to suspend the Constitution. Now, the oath you take is to preserve, protect, and defend, not suspend. I will always stand up for our Constitution, regardless of the political pressure.
Chris Christie taking a lane, as people say, being willing to openly criticize the president. A lot of the candidates kind of dancing a finer line. Obviously, they want to make the case better them than Donald Trump, but not necessarily willing to take him on head on. What did you hear?
Depending on who of the eight we're referring to, I think it ran the gamut. You had some who were eager to raise their hand and line up in lockstep with former President Trump. And then you had others, as you mentioned, like Chris Christie, Asa Hutchinson. I think Nikki Haley is another one who I think was trying to position herself as the alternative to Trump in many ways, even though she said she would support him if he were the nominee. I think that for most of the people on the stage, it was an easy hand raise. And I say that in the sense that they signed a pledge to the RNC that they would support the nominee. And then also thinking about it from the perspective of the audience, many people in the audience were strong Trump supporters. And so to raise your hand in that audience was more times than not going to be received favorably.
Let's look into some of the issues that came up. Abortion was a big issue. Some candidates, including former Vice President Pence, favored a federal abortion ban, talking about a 15-week limit. Here's former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley setting out her piece on the issue.
We need to stop demonizing this issue. This is talking about the fact that unelected justices didn't need to decide something this personal, because it's personal for every woman and man. Now it's been put in the hands of the people. That's great. When it comes to a federal ban, let's be honest with the American people and say it will take 60 Senate votes. It will take a majority of the House. So in order to do that, let's find consensus.
What did you make of how the candidates handled the issue of abortion last night, Susan?
Really liked her response, particularly the latter part. As I was sitting there watching the debate so many times, as different candidates were promising to do X, Y, or Z, my response was, well, you can't do that. And I mean that because, as she was speaking, you need 60 votes in the Senate, or you just can't eliminate federal agencies, as many of them promised to do. There was a lot of on day one, I will do this, and candidates do this. Barack Obama promised to shut down Guantanamo on day one, and that still exists. So I really appreciated her saying, we will not be able to necessarily do a national ban. I also think that it was a way for her to answer the question without answering the question.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater, looking at last night's Republican primary presidential debate in Milwaukee. Eight candidates who met the criteria for polling and fundraising, and one candidate not there, of course, former President Donald Trump. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on Joe in Milwaukee. Joe, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to make the observation that Donald Trump suggested that he didn't attend because it served his purposes, but I would argue that he absolutely couldn't attend because very reasonable questions offered to him by the moderator or by the other candidates could end up further incriminating himself in one of the 90 charges against him or violating the terms of his bond for the four different cases that he's being charged for.
Joe, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. And now, Susan, former President Trump did a recorded interview with Tucker Carlson that was broadcast on the former Twitter X against this debate. What do you think of Joe's theory that the former president was avoiding potentially incriminating himself in a lively debate?
This would be the first time, I think. But in all seriousness, potentially his attorneys might have recommended against participating because he speaks openly, and so we've seen him run into situations already where judges and attorneys have told him to stop talking, basically. I think that there's also, however, political reasons for not participating, and when you're the front runner, as he is, it is not uncommon to not participate because you don't see anything to gain by participating. So I think Joe might be onto something.
Joe, thanks for the call. We'll go to Artis now in Delafield. Artis, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. What did you want to bring up?
I can tell you that I found Ramaswamy absolutely just repulsive. He was completely disrespectful to everybody. And that being said, and I'm not a Republican, but that being said, I felt that Nikki Haley, especially in her response to abortion, I felt it was also very pragmatic, but also somewhat, kind of empathic, knowing that this isn't, stop demonizing it, which I think is something that has been done.
Artis, thanks for the call. Vivek Ramaswamy stood out a lot for a lot of people, for better or worse, Susan, in the debate. Obviously a candidate people don't know a whole ton about, not a household name in the political world. A lot of people spending time analyzing his performance, in the debate last night. What did you think?
All the candidates, he was the one who's polling the highest, and who has the least amount of knowledge, information out there. So, I mean, I would say that you had the governor of North Dakota, who is probably the least known candidate on the stage, and many of the others are not well known as well. But you have someone, Ramaswamy, who is admittedly and proudly not a politician, and he's doing fairly well in the polls. And he had a lot to gain by coming out very forcefully and showing himself as being quite aligned with former President Trump on a majority of the issues, and trying to follow into that lane of being not a politician, but a businessman. And so I think that he tried to grab as much attention as he could. And you're absolutely right that he's the one who I think has generated the most, the responses that have been at one end of the spectrum or the other in terms of people's reaction to him.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to UW-Whitewater political scientist Susan Johnson about the first Republican presidential debate last night in Milwaukee. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch the debate last night? What were your takeaways? Did you happen to attend it? Love to hear from you if you were there in person. What did you want to hear more or less about? What did you like? What any particular candidate said about any particular issue? Join in now at 800-642-1234. Do you wish former President Trump, leading in the Republican primary polls, had attended? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, about the first Republican presidential debate last night in Milwaukee. You could join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Susan, before I go back to our callers, one issue that I think has divided Republicans at the highest levels, support from Ukraine in its resistance to the Russian invasion. Vivek Ramaswamy in particular expressed the view that the U.S. should be less involved or maybe even not involved at all. Here's a listen.
I find it offensive that we have professional politicians on the stage that will make a pilgrimage to Kyiv, to their Pope, Zelensky, without doing the same thing for people in Maui or the south side of Chicago or Kensington. I think that we have to put the interests of Americans first.
Got a strong response from some of the other Republicans on the stage. Ukraine is definitely an issue, I think, Susan, that there's not a Republican consensus on.
Well, Rob, there's not a consensus in that regard. And when the war started, I think there was more of a consensus. And now what we're seeing is more and more issues rising in regard to the cost and how much of our defense budget is being spent in Ukraine. Nikki Haley pointed out in response to some of those comments, she had her facts as far as that goes, and one would expect that she would. She also mentioned what this could mean for the rest of Europe should this happen. And I think that this is one of those issues. Whenever we get into foreign policy areas, there tends to be a considerable amount of support across the board early on. And then as things drag on, the support wanes, and that usually happens in both parties. But certainly, I think this is something that we're going to see more and more if it gets discussed in future debates and then in the campaign, where Republicans are going to be on differing sides.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Chris joins us now in Loyal. Chris, hi.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to bring up, Chris?
I've just been a lifelong Republican. Just looking over all of them, I don't really want to speak to Ukraine. Just none of these are serious people, and none of them have principle. I was raised to have principles, and I just couldn't be any more demoralized with, you know, the quality that we have here, especially the so-called front runner.
Chris, do you have names in mind? Are there candidates, individual people, or types of candidates you wish were stepping up in the race?
I suppose Pence comes the closest, but, you know, there's not a person that I haven't seen backtrack or change their mind or just, you know, I mean, the Ramaswamy was crazy. you know, every, and, you know, I look around at some of the people who say they represent what I represent, and they don't look anything like me, and they're booing things that don't make any sense to me.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Susan, Chris, maybe part of a movement within the Republican Party, I think a smaller part, the so-called Never Trump movement. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but feeling disaffected with the Republican Party as it stands, even though they are lifelong Republicans. Do you think that's a significant block within potential Republican primary voters?
You know, when you look at the Republican Party electorate, people look at that solid core of people who are never going to support Trump. And then you have a solid core of people who are committed to him no matter what. And then Chris, you know, feels like he might be in that middle, but clear, but then leaning toward Never Trump, as you mentioned. And I think the issue is always for me, and I'm glad you asked him the question about who might you support otherwise, because then the question always for me thinking about it is, who is Chris going to vote for? Now, we don't really want to ask Chris that, but come the general election, for example, if Trump is the nominee, is he going to support Trump? Might he not vote? I mean, those are the questions that I wonder about when someone like Chris talks about dissatisfaction with the current slate of potential Republican Party nominees.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Jeff is with us now in Superior. Jeff, hey.
Hey, this is a great topic, of course, timely. I did listen to the debate, and I also listened to the interview with Tucker Carlson that Trump did. And if the election were today, I would vote for Trump. I would vote for him. I don't know how the rest of America feels, but a lot can happen between now and the convention or even election day. But if the election were today, I support Trump.
And Jeff, I got to ask, what would it take for another Republican primary contender to move up on the Jeff charts above Donald Trump?
Well, what I like about Trump, and I was a Democrat before I became a Republican, and so was Trump. I really want someone to renew our values as America, be constitutionally based, but also be as aggressive and have the perspective Trump has to see through the smokescreen of the socialists and those who are trying to destroy our country.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Sounds like Jeff's pretty solid on Trump all the way through the primaries, Susan. But something he said a lot can happen between now and the nomination process. This is still very early in the scope of things in a presidential race. A lot of things can and do change sometimes.
Absolutely. This is so early, and so much can happen, not just in thinking about the nomination, but also thinking about, you know, when we get to the general election. We're at the end of August, and the first contests begin in early 2024. There's a whole lot that can happen between then and now. We can just go through the litany of people who were front runners in August of the election year who never got close to the nomination. Now, I don't think that that's going to be the case with Trump, in the sense that he's really looking like the strong front runner, but, you know, things can happen with the different legal struggles that are going on, although nothing's going to come to conclusion between now and the contest starting. But yeah, it's way too soon to be making firm calls on things.
Thanks for the call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. Looking at last night's Republican presidential debate, Susan Johnson is with us from UW-Whitewater. Susan, what else stood out to you as you were watching this debate that I haven't asked you about so far?
You know, a couple things. I would say the tenor on the stage and in the audience, it was not as, I think, as raucous as other debates have been. But clearly, in my mind, the moderators didn't have full control of the participants.
Yeah.
And they allowed them to talk over each other. The participants didn't seem to be respecting the time limits and things like that. So I think the moderators could have probably had a little bit more control. I was also interested in some of the topics that were covered. So they spent a lot of time talking about the southern border and the drug crisis and drugs coming over. And I mean, I suppose that's an issue that gets a lot of attention on Fox, and it's an issue that gets a lot of attention from Republican voters. So, but that was something that I think was a little bit of a lot of time was spent on those issues.
And finally, got to ask about the Wisconsin factor here. Wisconsin is a later state in the primary process, but a key state in the general election process. Republicans putting a lot of attention here, this debate, their convention. Can you talk about Republicans doing a lot of work here in the state?
Yeah, and I mean, Wisconsin was very close, as we know, and it has been very close in the last several presidential elections. And so I think we're going to be seeing a lot of people spending a lot of time here. I don't know that it's going to have a big impact on the primary, but they're not thinking about the primary. They're thinking about the general election in November.
As we wrap up, Susan, what are you watching for to see if this debate has an impact on voters over the next few months?
Well, I mean, I'm going to look at some of the polling numbers to see. I'm expecting a bounce for some people. And so I want to see if that's persistent or not. I'm also thinking about the next debates and whether former President Trump is going to continue to decline to participate or not.
Susan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Always happy to join you.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science and Associate Dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater. She talked to us about last night's Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee, the first of the 2024 election cycle. You can keep following election news over at WPR.org, coverage here in the state and from our national colleagues at NPR. Listen live to these conversations, catch up on the latest news stories, and stream live or archive. Or you can download the Wisconsin Public Radio app to your phone or tablet.